I have a little joke before my homily. I saw it today on Facebook. Somebody had reposted it or something. And it was about our reading today. Some people might have already seen this, but it was about the Transfiguration. And it shows, it's like a cartoon strip. And it shows Jesus in the first frame, you know, with Elijah and Moses up on the mountain. And then in the second, and saying something, you know, repeating what's in the gospel here. And then in the second frame, it shows the cloud descending over them. And this is my beloved son. And then in the third frame, you see the guy from the Tide ad. And he says, it's a Tide ad. Because of the dazzling white, you know. He was transfigured before them and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. That's the idea. I find Abraham to be, that's a nerdy joke, isn't it? It's like a priest nerd joke. I find Abraham in our readings today and in the scripture, you know, there's so many characters and wonderful figures and people, real life people, who lived and showed such faith to God. But I find Abraham to be the most striking figure in scripture. He leaves everything behind. He leaves his homeland behind. God demands a lot from him. Everything, in fact. He says, leave everything behind and follow me. And he asks him to leave behind all that he is and live for God alone. His job, all those laughs, tenderness, tears, dreams, anger, sorrow, everything that he had experienced when he was at home with his family and his friends and his community, God calls him to go off to a land that he knows nothing about. And he doesn't really even know where he's going. And then, at the very apex of that, he asks for his son. Could you imagine? Now, if God called you and said, I need you to move to Fresno, maybe that's not so bad. But how about like Iran or Singapore or Mongolia or Russia or something, someplace very far away, and he just said, set out, and I'll explain everything later. I would be very hesitant. And then if he asked for your child, I don't know. God says to him, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God's asking Abraham to extinguish something inside of himself so that the door might be opened through which God can do something so much greater in him. And of course, at the last minute, God intervenes and saves Isaac. But he wants Abraham to turn away from the things of this world in a radical way, to turn away from himself and to turn towards God. And he does the same for us. He asks us to leave everything behind and follow him. Now, as we see it play out, Isaac is still alive and still his son. So it doesn't mean we give up everything, but he just says, put it in order. Put me first, because I'm the one who you'll be with forever. He asks us to leave everything behind, all of our selfish ambitions, all of our vanity as our body continues to decay and doesn't keep up with our years, our pride when we don't win the pickup basketball game, or maybe when one of our children decides on a career path that isn't what we would want for them. God asks us to give up all of those sins, all that selfishness, and turn toward him in love and in need and in desperation sometimes, whatever state we find ourselves in. And he gives Abraham so many signs that point to the conclusion. He will be rewarded abundantly and that God will guide him along the way. He says, fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And it's the same for us. God speaks those words to Abram, but he does the same to us. He speaks at the same time to us. He says, fear not, John. Fear not, Sally. Fear not, Jennifer. I am your shield, your sword. Your reward will be very great. Do not fear what will happen if you turn away from your sin. You know, I think sometimes we really kind of fall in love with our sin, and that's a shameful thing to say, or it shouldn't be a shameful thing to say, but I think there is some shame there. That we kind of fall in love with our sin. We kind of like it. It's familiar. It's comfortable. We know the outcome. And we can always just go to the confessional and take care of it. But God says, do not fear if you turn away from your sin. Don't fear that you're going to be bored in personal prayer or bored at the Mass, the great prayer. Do not fear what others will think of you if you have to tell them that you can't go out on Friday night because you've decided you want to take an adoration hour at the holy hour here at the Adoration Chapel. Don't fear imperfection in parenting or in your relationship with me. For I meet you right where you are, and I love you there, and I help you grow in the life of holiness. We might tell ourselves sometimes that, you know, God understands. He understands me. He's a loving father. He'll let it slide. After all, I'm a generally a good person, right? Won't that get me into heaven? And you know, when we sin, it's not God who turns away from us. He sees through it all. He sees weakness and he sees hurt and all of those things. And he looks right past that and he's always facing towards us. It's us who turn away from God when we sin. And we turn our backs. And so Lent and now is a good time to turn back to God. Turning back to him. In no uncertain term, God does tell us to turn away from our sins. He said through John the Baptist, repent, which means to stop, to turn away, to turn towards God. He does so that the door might be open, so that we can allow him in. If we're filled with everything else in this world, then we have no room for God. So Lent's a good time for us to get those priorities straight. It's not a self-help program. If we decide to stop eating dessert in Lent so we can lose some weight, well, that's not a good idea because now we're feeding into vanity and that might not be the best penance. But the things that we take up in Lent are supposed to bring us closer to God, a time to re-enthrone God in our hearts. And today we have a good opportunity for that. Tonight we have the prayer fair. We have those sessions after Mass, about 20 minutes long. And I went to a few, and they really are tremendous. They're not boring old church stuff. The people who are giving them are really very, very good. And so today's prayer fair, opportunity for us to grow in prayer, to have our minds expanded and think maybe a little bit broader, to turn away from sin and draw closer to Jesus. So there's cards in your pews at the end, I believe. If you could maybe take a look at those, I would invite you to look them over. So that after Mass, you can follow me out and we'll go directly over to the school where we can sit down and listen to some inspiring speakers and prayerfully consider what God might be calling us to grow in.